A tax on sugar, salt, and saturated fats could save the budget $3.4 billion, according to this study we've been talking about today. Experts at the University of Melbourne say introducing the controversial taxes would also add an extra 2.1 years of life to the average Australian, and just the sugar tax alone would add another 1.2 years to our lives, according to the study. Similar taxes already in Britain, Ireland, Belgium, France, Fiji, Mexico, and South Africa. So is it time we had it here? We'll talk about that as we go through the afternoon. But Professor Tony Blakely from the University of Melbourne is the report co-author and is on the line right now. Thanks for your time.
Good afternoon.
Well, Professor, how would a combination of taxes on sugar, saturated fats, and sugary drinks make us live longer?
Okay, so we've done some research on a package of taxes and subsidies, and what that does is it works together to create no change in the household expenditure because some consumption goes up, some consumption goes down.
Yep.
And then what that does, it influences disease rates in the future, therefore your death rate, etc. And we find that for the all the people alive in 2010 in Australia, that would save on average 2.1 years of healthy life per 100 people. I need to correct you on what you just said before. It's per 100 people.
Right.
And would also save $3.4 billion to the health system over the remainder of the lives of that population in 2010.
I just repeat what you just said there, because it's an interesting point. We were debating in the office before about how this has been reported. Most reports have actually said 1.2 years or 2.1 years of life. You're talking about that across 100 people there will be that benefit, not for an individual.
It's been misquoted. So in public health, we often do things that get quite a big gain for one individual, but when you, across all individuals, it's small, but when you sum it up, it's big. And that's the nature of public health. This intervention will get, expressed another way, 8 days of healthy life per person. But our study is very conservative because of things like discounting, and also we don't allow for the food industry to reformulate the food. I would expect we'd be seeing about 3 weeks of healthy life per person alive in 2010. And if it was for a kid who's got the rest of their life to live, it would be even bigger. Whatever, it's a large number.
Well, the fact is, though, how does that equate to $3.4 billion?
So that is, again, over the remainder of the life of people alive in 2010. So it's a dent in the health budget. It's a welcome thing to get, but it ain't as big as the cost of obesity in 1 year, which is $4 billion. So this is classic stuff. We need complex problems with obesity, multiple policies. This one makes a good inroad or a bite into it, to use that metaphor, but it ain't no silver bullet.
This concept's something we've talked about a lot, not just to do with sugar. I mean, I remember talking about this, about various ways you would tax alcohol differently as well. So you obviously believe, and this is what your work is bringing out, that through taxation you can change people's consumption habits.
Okay, what do I believe? Yes, increasing price changes consumption habits. There's no doubt about that. But the food system is complex, but the price of that for one thing, and you can shift consumption elsewhere. So, for example, if you just did a fresh fruit and vegetable subsidy by itself, you would increase that consumption, reduce cancer rates well into the future, but you might also mean people eat a bit more salt because they've got more disposable income, and it's borderline whether a subsidy by itself makes that difference. As to what I believe as a public health expert, I think the next most obvious place to go is taxing sugary drinks. That is a no-brainer. Not a massive health gain, but it starts to change the landscape and will be good for kids who are drinking far too much sugary drink and dental hygiene and all the rest of it. The research we've done is thinking about what could be done in 2-5 years' time as far as a package and starting that debate which we're having now.
Is it also a matter of not just the tax for an absolute dollar value, but also sends a message about what is appropriate behaviour and what's not?
Exactly. So it's a bit like the Health Star rating on food. That sends a message. If the people know that a food's taxed, it sends a message. But moreover, it only not only sends a message to us as citizens or purchasers in the supermarket, it sends a message to the food industry because they will reformulate to get less tax. And so you'll see less salt in cereals, less sugar in cereals, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where the synergies and the gains might really start to grow.
Okay. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Professor Tony Blakely, the University of Melbourne, the co-author of that report, and it's a controversial one. Anytime you start talking about taxing us to change our behaviour, I didn't have a problem at all when it comes to cigarettes, because you can't consume cigarettes in moderation and have no harm. Inherently, you have one cigarette, it's a harmful product. Sugar, though, sugary drinks, I mean, should we not be just doing it through education? And we had the same debate this time yesterday about cakes, birthday cakes at schools. Should we just be educating and normalising as opposed to, I guess, punishing people and saying, with the big stick, this is the way you should behave and this is what you should drink.